Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Hello again, family. Welcome to the Adventures in Companionship with you every Monday morning at 5:30. Thank you for Dr. Bill Price for making time, you know, to actually share with us, to help us grow, because it's very important, you know, to grow. Like, as he mentioned with the previous one, that if, like, you have to grow, growth is very important. And if you're not growing, you are dying, and you don't wanna, you know, die. You actually wanna grow. And also, I believe with growing comes a lot of responsibilities and a lot of connectedness, and a lot of rewards and appreciation as well for things that you were taking for granted. So let us welcome Dr. Bill Price.
And a very, very hello to you all, and happy and a good one. I first of all got to congratulate you for being awake at this time of the day and being alert and being connected to your radio. And I'm sure my sister-in-law is listening to me, so I need to say hello, Amy. I'm glad you're listening, and I do hope that you are going to enjoy this program as you enjoy the others. She's always letting me know that and sends me some positive input. So today, about companionship and how to be friends within that companionship journey, there's something that I now need to pay attention to. Because if we don't pay attention to this, we are going to mess up one of the biggest things that and the greatest and most important things that's been given to us by our Creator God as a gift. And that's called relationships.
Yeah.
God created us in relationship. We are the only creatures on the planet. There's no animal that is born to relate. They only relate because of their biology. They do not relate because of love and connection, etc., etc. And we're the only people on the planet created in His image to be able to relate. And of course, God in His image said, come, let us make man and woman. Come, let us make them according to our image.
Yeah.
So within the image is interpersonal relationship. On one occasion, Yeshua, Jesus, said that when someone is walking towards an altar to worship and they know that there is something wrong in a relationship, they must leave the gift at the altar, turn around, and go and sort out the relationship. So to God, relationship is more important than worship.
Mm.
So at times, we... Because of the, remember we had a picture once that we described of two people each in a bubble, and there's a like a trailer attached to our butts, our behinds. And that trailer carries our history. And sometimes the history in the trailer comes alive. And that history in our trailer comes alive in such a way it's triggered possibly by a situation, it's triggered by something that someone has said, it's triggered by an incident, and out pops something that we don't like doing. It's not in our nature, but suddenly there it is. And it's all forms of negativity. So I want to address a couple of forms of negativity, because negativity is toxic.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So to the brain, the moment the brain senses that they are in a negative situation, the brain goes, I need to survive. And to survive, it pumps in adrenaline into the system so that it can be alert. It's almost like a bushbuck that is suddenly aware of the fact that in close proximity is either a lion or a leopard. And they aware and... The whole body starts twitching and they're aware of it. So in looking at this whole thing around negativity and how it impacts us negatively on our nervous system. And it takes about 6 hours for that cortisol and that noradrenaline to get worked through our system and worked out of our system. So negativity takes 6 times longer for the brain to work through it than positivity does. So negativity has a brain impact that is bad on our minds and on our bodies. You can get sick through being negative.
Wow.
And sometimes we are negative because we just are feeling emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
And we know toxicity, and we know it because we can feel it. The moment you feel intimidated in a relationship, the moment you feel someone's trying to control you or to trip you up, the moment you feel that someone is jealous about you, the moment you feel that the person that you are with is constantly the victim, they're not the rescuer. The moment you feel that this person is giving kind of sarcasm and are being defensive, then you know you are within a toxic relationship.
Yeah.
And there are disadvantages of living in a negative or toxic relationship. So many, many people live in this toxic relationship and then they suffer. And then the end result is that impacts on the children, it impacts on the others that we love, and disrespect comes into the space. Non-trust walks onto the stage, and a negative and negativity within a relationship is an inverse impact on a relationship. So you'll have high values, you'll have high care for one another, but negativity kind of lowers all of that. And the characteristics of an unhealthy relationship include things like hostility, dishonesty, disrespect, dependence on intimidation, physical violence, and even sexual violence. When we are in a relationship that is negatively impacted, it impacts on our physical, our mental, and our spiritual states. So here's some of the weeds we've got to get out of our garden and make a good job of it. Number one, we need to remove blame out of our space. If your partner has made a mistake, don't blame them. If your partner has made a mistake or your friend has made a mistake, go, wow, that's one of the best mistakes I've ever seen. Rather than, what did you do?
Yeah.
How could you do it?
Yeah.
Shameful. How can a person, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to, that's all blame. And it's including shame. So when you shame a person, it's like you saying bad child, because you drop the cup bad. That's bad. It's not the dropping of the cup. You are bad. That's shame. Nowhere in the 33 and a half years that Yeshua Christ lived on this planet did he ever shame anybody.
Mm.
Never, ever. The other thing that we need to pull out of the garden is the weed of judgment. Judgment is making a judgment call on a person going, oh, so that wasn't the best thing that you've done today.
Yeah.
According to who? You've just said that wasn't the best thing according to you. And that's making a judgment. And scripture is very clear. We're not to judge one another. We're not to judge them for who they are. We're not to judge them for what they represent. We're not to even judge them for what they are in terms of their identity. It's not our job to judge people. Judgment has already taken place thousands of years ago when Christ and Yeshua died on the cross. Judgment took place that day.
Yeah.
On anybody and everybody that ever lived and ever will live on the planet. Then there's this horrible little weed called belittling. Belittling is when I make you small, when I make you less than who you are. and I belittle someone or embarrass that person in front of people. I cannot tell you in how many companies I've coached where the manager is toxic and where he belittles someone in a meeting, calls them names. I was in a meeting in a church where a pastor who brags about the fact that he's got strong body and muscles and rides a Harley Davidson and flies in an airplane and whatever. And the way that he spoke to one of his senior ministers in front of everybody was absolutely shameful. How he belittled the person. You are the oldest person here. I can fire you anytime that I want to. And I'm going, wow, this is an amazing, amazing example of how Jesus would not do it. Then there's criticism. Criticism is looking at something and saying to the person, in your mind, it's not good enough. So you're going, there is a better way. You know there's a better way, and you might not even know what the better way is, but you criticize anyway. Criticism is like the eggs are burnt, the food is burnt, this is not straight, that's not clean, this is not right. And we criticize, we pull apart, we say it's not good enough, but the person feels that they are not good enough. The second to last weed we need to pull out of our space is dumping. Dumping is when I'm feeling bad, sad, or mad, angry, and when a person comes to me and says, good morning, and I say, there's nothing good about this morning. Do you hear me? That's dumping. You've just dumped on a person. They came to you and just said, hello, how are you? With good intention.
Yeah.
And without you even trying to explain yourself, you dump on them because you've had a bad experience. Now you project. Another word, the psychological word for that is I project it onto people. So I'm feeling bad and miserable. So I project that onto people because I want everybody to feel like I'm feeling right now. And then the last weed, not always the last, but one of the weeds that we need to pull out is sarcasm. Sarcasm is a way of belittling a person. It's a way of embarrassing them. Sarcasm is like you go, oh, is it? Well, look at her. She gets it right every time. And you can hear it in the tone of voice. You can see it in the body language. And what we need to do, instead of putting these things, these weeds in the garden, let's plant flowers that attract butterflies and bees and birds. And what attracts is, help me to understand you, to love you better. Tell me how I can help you. Bring that into your space rather than coming with cliches like, don't worry, everything will come right. Everything doesn't always come right. Stop the stupid cliches. Stop quoting scriptures to people and going, well, this scripture says, as long as, you know, the joy of the Lord is your strength, so just be joyful. That's a quick fix. And maybe you haven't even listened to the person. You haven't even said to the person, what are you going through? What's the pain you're feeling? Mm. And you're immediately applying a plaster, and it could be a broken arm. So quoting scripture doesn't help anybody. You think it might, but the right word at the right time, scripture says, is like apples of gold. And you need to be aware that when you're sharing things with people, that they are prepared to accept it and embrace it and uphold it in their own lives. Bring in a new garden. Bring in patience. Bring in understanding. Bring in awe. Let me listen to this person. Let me pay attention to this person. Bring in intention. Bring in understanding. Bring in silence. Bring in just being there and letting them feel your presence.
Wow. Is there a way that maybe, you know, as an individual, I'm always the one who likes being in the spotlight? How do you help such a person to not want things to be about them all the time?
Okay, so there's good news and bad news to this one. Do you want the good news or the bad news first?
Let's start with the bad news so that the good news can come in.
Okay, it's not really bad news.
All right.
So the one way to help a person like that is to confront them alone and go, can I share something with you that I've noticed? And you share on the basis, I've noticed that when we are in conversation, that you are constantly referring back to yourself and you are introducing yourself into the subject, for instance, like, and you show the example, and then pose the question, I'm wondering, are you aware of it? And second thing I'm wondering is, what do you think you're getting out of it by doing it that way?
Yeah.
So you're making the person aware and you are being conscious with the person. And then the other way is to, in a conversation, just gently focus the attention on someone else. And we're going, thanks, Sally. That was interesting. Let's hear what Len has to say about that, or what Tabu has to say about that,
yeah,
or what Jennifer has to say about that. And then you turn your eye attention away from the person as well, and you focus on the other person. And if you do that once or twice in a meeting, they'll get the message. And then you can have a private meeting with them if it is for you an issue or a problem that you think other people start talking about them, et cetera, et cetera. Because you want to help the person to grow. You want to help the person to be loved and respected.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you owe it to that person to be truthful and honest with them.
Yeah. So that's how I can actually be of great help.
Mm. And yeah, you add value to another person's life.
That's amazing.
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
I'll get the courage.
Just take a deep breath and say, help me, Jesus. Here we go.
Help me, Jesus. Thank you so much to our listeners for tuning in to the Adventures in Companionship with Dr. Bill Price and myself. Remember, you can email him for any questions, queries, or maybe, I don't know, you need help or you also need Jesus to help you. Well, you can email him on inspired@drbillprice.com. See you next time.
Faith, hope and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
The search continues for top quality South African Christian music. If you are a new artist or releasing a new CD, then send it to Radio Pulpit. For more information, please visit the Radio Pulpit website. That's www.radiopulpit.co.za. Or phone us during office hours, 012-334-1200. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.